This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Another new immigration policy being worked on by the Trump administration, which is now planning to hold migrant families in detention for the entire duration of their immigration proceedings. Acting Homeland Security Chief Kevin McAleenan saying that the current standards incentivize illegal entry. He cites a Supreme Court ruling known as the Flores Agreement, which limits the time families can be detained to 20 days.
This single ruling has substantially caused and continued to fuel the current family unit crisis and the unprecedented flow of Central American families.
The new rule almost certain to face court challenges. The Danish Prime Minister expressing shock after President Trump cancels a long-scheduled state visit to Denmark. Reports are the President did so because he's upset over Denmark's refusal to consider selling Greenland to the U.S. This is USA Radio News.
This is Shell Rotella Gas Truck. This is truck oil. This is hunting, fishing, camping way off the grid oil. This is climbing mountains in the rain, snow, and mud oil. This is hauling the world's greatest tailgate party halfway across the country, oil. This is not top-down cruising to the corner store for cupcakes oil. This is Shell Rotella Gas Truck, just for your truck and SUV, oil. Find Shell Rotella Gas Truck at your local Advance Auto Parts today.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stealth? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Officials in both countries now confirming the United States and Venezuela have been holding what have until now been secret high-level talks towards ending hostilities between the two sides. Also, the talks are aimed at trying to find ways of solving the economic crisis in Venezuela. A White House spokesman confirming the report, and now Nicolas Maduro, the Venezuelan president, has done the same. Could air pollution be causing mental health disorders? Well, maybe so, according to researchers at the University of Chicago. They say they looked at data from Denmark and the United States, which suggests that being exposed to poor air quality when you're young does raise the risk of developing major depression, bipolar disorder, personality disorder, and schizophrenia later in life. The experts say that genetics and neurochemistry probably also play roles, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillows, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
The U.S. troops deployed to the U.S.-Mexico border will be awarded the Armed Forces Service Medal, the honor given to service members who take part in a military operation with significant activity, but in which they encounter no foreign armed threats. Soldiers were first sent to the border in April of 2018 to assist border agents. Over 5,000 active duty and National Guard troops are currently assigned to that border region. Former Minnesota and current Tennessee state quarterback Demaree Croft has been indicted on 6 counts of rape and 2 counts of sexual battery. He has an arraignment set for the 4th of September. The indictment says Croft engaged in unlawful conduct without consent. Sent last December. All 8 counts involved the same woman, the 22-year-old Croft started the final 6 games for Minnesota in 2017 before transferring to Tennessee State. And the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development says it's giving nearly $28 million to identify and reduce lead-based paint hazards in older public housing units. Officials say that the grants will go to 38 public housing agencies in 25 states. Find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Live. Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. Check us out. Liz Wheeler joins us now, the popular host of One America. We're going to be talking about her new book, Tipping Points, How to Topple the Left's House of Cards. Tipping Points, appropriately named, because it's, after all, it's her show that you can catch every night. 9 o'clock Eastern Time on One America. Liz, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Bill, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, excited to be talking to you because, you know, conservatives have taken for granted for way too long that their positions are so true and tried that it's inarguable. But the left, meanwhile, out of their echo chambers have been practicing. They followed rules for radicals and other, other strategies, and they've got a strategy in play. And when conservatives come up against liberals and you're not prepared, they can hand you your lunch very emotionally and very easily. But it's time the conservatives understand, I guess maybe in kind of the goofy words that Joe Biden tried to express the other night. He's kind of becoming the Yogi Berra of politics when he says, truth over fact. I'm not sure. It's like, you know, he is
a weird Freudian slip because the left doesn't believe in truth anymore. They only believe in, quote unquote, your truth or my truth. So right. What he said, maybe it wasn't a gaffe so much as that's what the left thinks these days. Mm-hmm. In my book, though, I talk about exactly what you say. I identify these five, I call them tipping points, mm-hmm. which is the strategy that the left is using to try to impose their ideology on us. And I think it's really, really important for us as conservatives to identify their strategy, because once we know their strategy, it doesn't seem as difficult to defeat their policies and their agenda, to debunk their lies and destroy their talking points. Once we know how they're doing it, and what they're doing and why they're doing it, we can very easily throw it off track.
Well, the beauty of this, Liz, is that, as you just said, you know, the truth always wins out. So if you're empowered with the truth, okay, get out of the realm of the opinion, okay? There's plenty of opinion flying around. And I tell people all the time, in the absence of truth, opinion rules. And this is what the left relies on. They love that that environment when it's all about opinion, because they can emotionalize just about anything, and they don't want to, they're really, you know, they're immune to the truth, and it shocks them when, you know, they get hit with, as Biden would refer to it, as the facts. They just can't handle really the real facts. They make up their own, you know, their own, what you call self-manufactured facts, you know, like the president, you know, right. The former president coming in and saying, well, it is a fact, you know, on, regarding, you know, climate change. That's not even a scientific scientific term. You know, it is in science, you talk about it in terms of it being a law and not a fact, right?
Right. Well, that's one of the things. I guess I disagree a little bit that the truth always wins out. I think emotion always wins out. It's all about how we frame the truth, because we as human beings respond more to emotion than we do to, you know, the written word on paper, unfortunately. And the left has really grasped, they've you know, grabbed hold of that idea that we make our decisions based on how we feel, not based on how we think. And so it's really incumbent on conservatives to recognize that and realize that, well, it would be best if we could just present facts and facts, you know, one all the time. We have to make sure that we're speaking to the emotional concerns of the American people. And we can do that without being dishonest. The left, of course, is dishonest about that. They manipulate. But we can do that. We can speak to people's concerns while also using facts. And in my book, I show people how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to get into that. But just a moment, in terms of my perception, in terms of emotion is not sustainable. It will run. You know, people will punch themselves out. So what I do in my debates with people, when they're emotionalizing, I let them emote. Just let them go. You know, let them punch themselves out, because it's not sustainable. Then once they're punched out, then you say, okay, well, you know, here, are you ready? Do you want the facts? Here's the facts. And it overwhelms them, you know, in that sense. But I think emotion is a good quality, and that's a motivator, and we should be excited about it. But if you're caught back on your heels and you're overwhelmed by emotion, yeah, then it can seem like that can win out. But
And that's actually one of the tactics I talk about in my book, what you just described that you do when you debate liberals. I call it let them run out of BS.
Exactly.
One of the things I think that conservatives should do more often, maybe we don't do enough, is we have this, you know, this data dump in our mind, all these facts, all this research that we have educated ourselves on about each and every issue. And I think we have this urge to just drop this data like a bomb on the left and assume that that will destroy them. But really, they can't hear the facts until they have expressed their emotion. And so I tell people, let the other side have their initial monologue. Let them talk until they've run out of BS. Because once they've run out of BS, then they'll have nothing else to say. And then you can bring your facts out and they'll be more susceptible to listen.
Well, I love what Gramps had to say. You know, everybody has a right to their own stupid opinion, right?
Exactly. Yep. He's
brilliant.
He says all the time.
Okay. All right. So we let them fight themselves out. Let them, you know, hey, and it's good also to listen, because, you know, I often find, Liz, I don't know about you, but I call it self-indictment. The left self-indicts themselves continually if you're just listening to what they say.
Exactly. That's chapter 9 of my book. It's called For Every Liberal Talking Point, There's an Equal and Opposite Contradiction. And it's so funny, because you can contradict the left not based on your values, Bill, not based on my principles. You don't have to say, well, you're wrong because your belief is wrong. They literally contradict themselves with their own positions on different issues, their own talking points on different policies. I mean, the obvious one is on when they say, oh, we're pro-women and we're pro-choice. But then they contradict that by not wanting to give women the choice to carry a firearm to defend herself. You can't have it both ways. And every single policy that they have is contradicted by another policy that they hold. It's hilarious, really, to read about it.
Well, it's hilarious to watch them twist themselves up into knots when there's anybody that's asking a critical question, right?
Right, which is few and far between, by the way. You know, that's one of the things I'm proud to do on One American News Network, is I actually ask them about their contradictions. So many people in the mainstream media just let it slide. They don't point out the obvious contradiction. Even in the Democratic debates, we saw this. We saw, you know, CNN refused to ask any of the tough questions, any of the contradictory questions that the American people ought to know about before they decide who to vote for in the next presidential election. But make no mistake, the contradictions are there.
Without a doubt. But they're not going to have them raise their hands anymore, are they?
No, which is a shame, because that was my favorite part of the entire debate. I think we actually got the most information when they shut up Exactly. Told us with their hand what they did, that well, any of their rambling, you know, created answers.
Yeah, for those of us that may be overwhelmed with sensory overload like the DSA, I don't know if you saw that clip or not.
Yes.
It's like, okay, we're going to do jazz hands, and hey, be sensitive, I'm on sensory overload. But Liz, this is coming.
I mean, personal privilege, right?
Yeah, this is coming to a theater near you. I mean, it's happening in college campuses, and now we got a new, learn a new language, and we can't even golf clap anymore. Now it's just raising the hands. We've got more from Liz Wheeler. We're talking about her brand new book, Tipping Point. Stay with us right here.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
This message is sponsored by AmeriGlide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call AmeriGlide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple 2-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stairlift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
This is Dan Perkins from Songs and Stories for Soldiers with your Veterans Tip of the Day. Have you noticed that interest rates on home loans have dropped at least 1% in the last 6 months? Did you miss the opportunity to refi your home mortgage the last time interest rates were heading lower? Here's your Veterans Tip of the Day. Get focused and know the facts of your existing mortgage. So go to the safe or the shoebox, wherever you have important papers, and look through it and find your mortgage. Next, look through it and find out these three things. When did you take out the loan? The year. How much did you borrow? The amount. And what is the interest rate? Percentage. Write this down on a sticky and put it on the fridge and start looking at bankrate.com for mortgage interest rate. If the new rate is 1% or more lower than the rate on the fridge, start looking at a refi. Remember, a refi puts money in your pocket. This has been Dan Perkins with your Veterans Tip of the Day.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
And independent we are, and we're talking with the popular host of One America News Network's Tipping Point with Liz Wheeler. You can see her every night, Monday through Friday, right, Liz, at 9 p.m. Eastern?
Correct. Monday through Friday, 9 to 6 p.m. Pacific. My show, Tipping Points, airs. It's an hour-long show. We have a ton of fun. We talk about the stories the mainstream media refuses to cover and debunk the lies of the left.
Exactly. And this is a great experience for you and a training zone for you to work on how to topple the left's house of cards. She debates the issues so expertly, and she'll give you some guidance, and you will see how others do it. Liz, in your book, starting with chapter one, we see this as a problem just from the get-go. Is you know, here parents spend $250,000 to send their kids to college and let the indoctrination begin. And you find out very quickly, because the first time they come home after, you know, the first semester, and they come home for Thanksgiving, and you wonder, oh my gosh, what alien has got into my child's head?
Yeah, I mean, I start the book just by giving this little hyperbole. It's a little sketch of what our nation is going to look like if we allow the political correctness that the left is trying to infect our society with, if that political correctness becomes law. And I know this sketch is hyperbole, but it's also based on real incidents and real liberal rules on college campuses around our country, which is terrifying because it could be true. And I think that sketch is, it's kind of a wake-up call for us. That as much as you and I mock the Democratic Socialist Convention bill, as much as we, you know, roll our eyes at these leftists who say, it's my truth, it's your truth, these people want to morph political correctness into law. They don't want this to just exist on a college campus. They want this to be codified
exactly. In
the statutes of our nation. And if we don't realize what their goal is, we are not going to be able to put up an adequate defense to their ultimate agenda. And so in order to stop anybody from achieving anything, you have to understand what it is that they want to achieve. So the first part of the book just lays out exactly what the left wants and how they're achieving it, because I think a lot of conservatives don't realize exactly the strategy the left is using to impose their ideology on us.
Well, the fact of the matter is, as you say, it's being codified in universities. I mean, various universities are embracing these things. You know, the jazz hands, you know, triggers, safe zones, all this stuff that goes on. And, you know, for some people, they look at it and say, well, they'll grow out of it. It's just a phase. But this is rather dangerous because they're bringing this to bear on the culture. And this is an old song. You know, when you look back in history, Liz, this is how other empires were destroyed.
Well, this is one of the things. I think that a lot of older conservatives make a mistake about what happens, or they're mistaken about what happens to these, you know, so-called liberal snowflakes on college campus. Older conservatives tend to say, well, just wait until they get a real job and then the real world is going to hit them in the face. That's actually not what's happening. What's happening is these liberal social justice warriors on campus are bringing that politically correct culture from their college to the workplace. They are actually transferring that politically correct culture to our mainstream culture. They're not having this wake-up call when they get to the real world. They are bringing their terrible leftist ideology to the real world and mainstreaming it, and that's extremely dangerous. I talked on my show the other day about a story about a transgender individual. It was a person that had been born a man, now identifies as a woman, but still has male genitalia, who is suing a waxing boutique because the women, the immigrant women at the waxing boutique, declined to wax his male genitalia.
Right.
And he said that's a human rights violation because he is not a man, he is a woman, and his male genitalia are women's genitalia. So, seriously, male genitalia, he is wanting to say, are female genitalia. But this is what the left has been telling us. They've been telling us that transgender women are not transgender women. They are real women. And so this is a perfect example of the left trying to morph their politically correct culture into law. He is suing this waxing boutique over what he says is a human rights violation. And the left, even feminists, they're not saying anything in defense of these women. They are saying, okay, well, let's codify this into law now.
Right, exactly. And let's have trans men competing with women in sports.
Right, right.
You know,
I mean,
right?
That's obviously unfair. You don't have to be transphobic to say that. I mean, The left tries to give us this binary choice. I talk about this a little bit in my book. How they always place before us this artificial choice, this binary choice, where either we adhere to their radical leftist ideology, or our only alternative is that we are bad people. That's what they try to, that's the choice they try to put before us. And we ought to reject that because that's not true. We can be tolerant of transgender people. We can be compassionate towards people suffering from gender dysphoria. We can, you know, condemn bullying. We can include people who are different than us in our culture. We don't have to socially ostracize them without being bad people and without kowtowing to the leftist ideology that contradicts the very basic biology of which we are made. We don't have to say, well, men can be women if they want to be. We don't have to say that in order to be compassionate towards people who are suffering from gender dysphoria. And yet the left pretends that the only option is either we ditch basic biology or we're bigots. That's not
exactly
true.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in your book, you make it clear the left has an end game. I mean, there's a purpose to all this. And what conservatives need to re-embrace is that there's an end game for conservatism as well, right?
Definitely. I mean, the end game, we talk about the end game of the liberal ideology. It's cultural Marxism. It's a socialist governmental structure. This is what they are. This is what they are trying to achieve in our nation. And if you hit the mute button on their rhetoric and just look at their actions, it's crystal clear what they want to achieve. But you're absolutely right. Conservatives need to articulate what our alternative is for them as well. What it means to be a nation that is a nation of laws. What it means to have limited government. Why we have limited government. Why conservative principles in government, protected by government, actually benefit everybody, not just the rich like the left claims, but every single person of every color, of every socioeconomic background, of every gender, of every age. Why conservative principles and why limited government and why liberty and why the free market benefit people the most? If conservatives don't articulate that, then we're not really giving the voters a choice about what they want from their government. We're just being the party of no, telling them that
right.
The left is doing it wrong.
Liz, why is the media sold out? You know, they sold themselves out on us.
Why have they done it? Well, I assume it's because the people in charge of it, the executives, agree with a leftist ideology, which is a shame because under the leftist ideology, the media won't actually be able to do their jobs legally anyway because there'll be so many laws about hate speech and, you know, restrictions on what you're allowed to say and trigger warnings and all these different things. It's a shame they have sold out.
They're protected by our U.S. Constitution for a purpose, and they violated their reason to exist.
Definitely. I mean, we the people need to understand, and we conservatives need to articulate that the reason that we have freedom of speech codified into our Constitution is not because of the speech that we agree with. It's because of the speech that we find offensive. It's because of the speech that we disagree with. Nobody is going to attack speech that they disagree with, but they will attack speech they disagree with. And we have to say the reason that we protect speech is we're protecting people's rights to say stupid things. We're protecting people's rights. Like my grant says, Everybody has a right to their own stupid opinion, and we have to protect that. Otherwise, you know, government and people with political agendas are going to come after that. And the mainstream media has lost sight of the fact that if they give up their freedom of the press, if they give up their free speech, if they advocate for policies that restrict our right to say things under the guise of it being offensive or a trigger warning or something of that nature, then, you know, we've lost our ability to hold government accountable.
Exactly. Well, Liz Wheeler has given us a practical application and guidebook, if I might say, to what you see every night at 9 o'clock on One America News Network's Tipping Point with Liz Wheeler. 11 key tactics on how to defend yourself against liberals and leftist ideas. The main motivation as to why liberals are attacking the soul of our nation, and how to strategically identify every liberal position, how they are all lies, and how the media will cover it up. Her brand new book, Tipping Point, How to Topple the Left House of Cards. Liz, thank you so much. Great job on this book, by the way, and congratulations on the show.
Thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate it. Thanks to everyone who's bought the book. We got up to number 3 on Amazon's bestseller list in the political commentary category.
Now that the Fed has cut interest rates by 0.25%, chances are you're paying too much for your mortgage or those high-interest credit cards. Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates we've seen in 10 years. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Another new immigration policy being worked on by the Trump administration, which is now planning to hold migrant families in detention for the entire duration of their immigration proceedings. Acting Homeland Security Chief Kevin McAleenan saying that the current standards incentivize illegal entry. He cites a Supreme Court ruling known as the Flores Agreement, which limits the time families can be detained to 20 days.
This single ruling has substantially caused and continued to fuel the current family unit crisis and the unprecedented flow of Central American families.
The new rule almost certain to face court challenges. The Danish Prime Minister expressing shock after President Trump cancels a long-scheduled state visit to Denmark. Reports are the President did so because he's upset over Denmark's refusal to consider selling Greenland to the U.S. This is USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't have worried. I trust your taste in limitless. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with the America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, this portion of the show is being brought to you by Sovereign Laboratories. They're the makers of Colostrum LD. You've heard me bragging about them. Go to BillMartinezLive.com, click on their banner ad, and get back to the road of health. You will definitely feel the difference. And right away, too, I'll tell you, this is an outstanding product. I am so glad that I found out about it, and I am delighted to be talking to you about it. So check it out, BillMartinezLive.com. Click on the banner ad for Sovereign Laboratories and start enjoying better health. Why not? Professor is in the house. We're talking. Professor Wilfred Riley is back with us, author of the book Hate Crime Hoax, How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War, as researched and written about by this political science professor at Kentucky State University. Dr. Riley, good to have you back with us. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. Always glad to be back with you.
Well, we've got the five-year anniversary of Michael Brown, and probably one of the biggest hoaxes and lies that have been perpetrated and has done absolutely no positive good, if I can say it in those terms, for race relations, this hands-up-don't-shoot deal. And people still want to hold to it. You know, what is going on after it's been clear that Officer Wilson, he went through two investigations and they were not light. I mean, this was even conducted by the Obama administration. They're going to cut him no quarter on this, and they decided that they're, you know, that he was not in the wrong. And you know, I think it's sad that we lost a young man, that Michael Brown could not have been saved before he terrorized the community and was become, you know, from what reports have indicated, you know, the neighborhood bully, and he's with us no more. But we also lost a police officer, you know, somebody who that was his career, that was his desire to serve the community.
Yeah, I think that there's absolutely no doubt that, and this is the consensus in social science at this point, there's no doubt that the hands up, don't shoot narrative was entirely false. And that entire idea, that entire narrative came from the first witness reports on the scene to sort of local and alternative media after the Michael Brown shooting.
Mm-hmm.
People who were in the audience, almost random residents of the neighborhood, began essentially making up a narrative that said that the officer Darren Wilson had shot Michael Brown essentially for no reason, that they had scuffled a bit, but Michael Brown had raised his hands above his head and said, "Please no, my hands are up, don't shoot me." Wilson had gunned him down in cold blood. It turned out that nothing like that happened. As you mentioned, Barack Obama's Justice Department did a very full investigation of the entire situation, as I think any Justice Department would do. Those are America's lawyers and lawmen.
Right.
What they found was that Michael Brown had attacked Darren Wilson. These are big men. I mean, Michael Brown was, I think, 6'4". Darren Wilson was 6'3". They were both over 200 pounds.
Exactly.
There had been what could have been a pretty bloody fight. Michael Brown's fingerprints and DNA were found on the slide of the gun, if you're familiar with semi-automatic weapons, on the trigger guard. Wilson finally leaned back and discharged a couple of shots, and unfortunately that killed Michael Brown. And obviously, if you engage in that kind of armed fight, you are taking your life into your hands. So that narrative turned out to be completely false. This is relevant because, as you mentioned in passing, I mean, a couple of the current presidential candidates just brought this up, right? I think it was Harris, Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren says that he was murdered.
Yes. Yeah, I actually responded to Elizabeth Warren on Twitter about that and went moderately viral. But I mean, yeah, she said that Michael Brown was murdered, and that this shows, I think the phrase was, America's disdain for black lives. And this again gets into people, this is the topic of my book to some extent, people almost making up hate crimes and racial incidents in a situation, I mean, American middle class life, where there often aren't any.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea of Black Lives Matter was, well, we can talk about black crime, but first we need to deal with this situation of police officers murdering black men. And I think most people of good faith, including me, for the first one or two said, okay, let's analyze this, let's look at it.
Mm-hmm.
When people actually did begin looking at this, I mean, we found that the group most likely to be shot by police was poor whites, followed by recent Hispanic immigrants. 78% of people shot by the cops aren't black at all. Those cases just aren't discussed. And I think more importantly, this is a little more controversial, most of the people that were shot by the police in the Black Lives Matter cases, certainly Michael Brown, weren't just calmly walking to church. I mean, Freddie Gray was a multiply convicted drug felon who was running from the police. I think that's fair to say. Mike Brown had committed a strong arm robbery that day.
Yes.
He'd gone into a convenience store, beaten up the owner, who was also a minority, tiny Asian woman.
Right.
And so on down the line. I mean, even the genuinely tragic cases, if you look at Philando Castile, it turned out that the shooter in that case was a decorated Hispanic and Native American sort of hero cop named Geronimo Yanez. And the altercation began not because they wanted to target an African American individual, but because one of the major stores in the city had been brutally robbed earlier that day, and the robber looked exactly like Castillo. So very few of the cases, Tamir Rice was a bit of a tragedy, but very few of the cases turned out to be real. And there turned out to be very few cases. And I think that's the reality of the situation. What Warren's referring to is the false presentation of what happened that we had for a while.
Exactly. And how could she come up with that when I believe the, you know, the evidence has been pretty clear of all things that she could pull up. But, this is, again, I think is, you know, kind of the go-to line of perspective that the Democrats want to put out there. They want to maintain this race war because they perceive it as some advantage. And hopefully, Dr. Riley, it's run its course, that there's enough smart people who have gone through this and realized that, you know, that's not the case, because not only was there a breakdown of law and order, but there was a breakdown of leadership here, you know, from the Obama, Justice Department in terms of leading the narrative. And, of course, local officials there in Ferguson.
Yeah, well, one of the things I say in my next book, Taboo, which is coming out this upcoming January, The Difficulty and Importance of Discussing Race in Class, but one of the things I say is that Barack Obama, to some extent, missed his Nixon and China moment. So there were things that Barack Obama accomplished. You can feel one of many ways about gay marriage, but that came out of the Obama administration. He and Mr. Bush worked together, ended the Great Recession, that's a fact. But the thing that the first black president could have done to set himself out from the pack is dramatically improve American race relations.
Well, I'll tell you, was that the prayer of most voters, Dr. Riley?
Yes, of course it was.
I mean, maybe an unfair expectation, when I talk with people of all races, and that's almost the number one thing is that they and the biggest disappointment they had with the administration. They had only hoped, and I asked them. I said, do you think that might have been a bit unfair to put all that on his shoulders? And you know, they paused for a moment, and most would agree that we're expecting too much. But that's what we'd hope for.
Well, he's the president. I mean, President Bush was expected to have been to 9/11. Presidents have a big pair of shoes to wear.
Right.
I think that with Barack Obama, one of the major reasons that Barack Obama, who was fairly inexperienced, he'd been an Illinois senator for 2 years. One of the reasons he was elected was that he was a confident, articulate black guy. And I think that America had reached a point where a lot of people said, well, as long as he's reasonably well qualified, as long as he's a senator, we'd like a black president. We'd like to overcome the demons of the past.
Right.
And I think the expectation a lot of people had, and I don't just think this is the product of some research, is that Obama at some point, Mr. Obama, would stand up on the stage and say, I'm president and I'm black. And that changes the dialogue about race. Let's stop talking about oppression and racism and so on. Mm-hmm. And let's start talking about how to clean up the last few remaining problems and then move on to a conversation about social class or about a new kind of patriotism. And I think that a big disappointment came from the fact that President Obama never did that. Instead, you saw what a lot of people interpreted as, I don't want to judge it, but what a lot of people interpreted as an alliance with or a sympathy toward black radicals or in some cases even criminals.
Exactly.
So, if you remember, Barack Obama said that his son would look and presumably act like Trayvon Martin.
Yes, right.
And that's a ridiculous comment. I mean, Barack Obama, whether you like him or not, is an educated upper-class man who was a U.S. politician for decades. There's zero chance that his son would have been involved in a physical fight at 2 a.m. wearing a hoodie, walking away. That's not something that would have occurred.
Yeah, that seems incongruous, but we got to go to a quick break. More from Dr. Wilford Riley. You've heard it said, you don't know what you've been missing. Well, when it comes to nutritional components in your diet, maybe you need to know what you've been missing, especially if you want to feel good, not miss work, and get the most of each day. Then you need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mothers, helps our body recognize when we're under attack, and fights all those nasty microbes that we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstreams. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the
lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Getting America back on track.
The face of the nation.
You guys crack me up.
Bill Martinez live.
You ready?
Ready or not, we're coming at you full force, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Author of the book, Hate Crime Hoax, How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War, as researched and written by the political science professor at Kentucky State University, Dr. Wilfred Riley, continues with us. Dr. Riley, you know, as you were saying, with Barack Obama and the lost opportunity, and, you know, when you consider really just, you know, how far Black America has progressed, I mean, here you are, you know, a Black American, successful. We got Dr. Ben Carr. I mean, there's just a long line of successes within the Black community that really stands in the face of, you know, these people that have an interest or pander an interest for, you know, reparations and other things. In fact, I was listening to a Black man last night, and he was blaming the educational system, the poor educational system that was thrust upon his parents and upon himself. And, you know, you get into this victimhood mentality. And, you know, me being Hispanic, I mean, I, you know, people ask me about certain things and, you know, about prejudice and that sort of thing. And I said, well, I'm sure it happened. I, in fact, I know it happened in my career, but I chose not to focus on it. You know, my father had raised us in such a way that, you wanted to be focused on the things that were good and noble and right. And that was a good guideline for me because, at the times when I got, you know, very frustrated, and, you know, and angry was when, you know, I wanted to look at that. And I just was, I was able to decide early enough in my career that that wasn't beneficial for me.
Yeah, I think so. There are a couple of things there. First of all, I don't like the idea, which you see more on the left, that there's sort of one minority viewpoint. So an ex-girlfriend of mine, close friend of mine right now, is Hispanic, as 17% of the country is. Mm-hmm. And she's regularly asked today about her position on, for example, legalizing illegal immigration, which came up during the Democratic debates.
Right.
And her response is, well, I'm absolutely against it. I mean, like most Hispanic Americans, I'm in the country legally, and I've been here for hundreds of years. My great-grandfather fought the Americans, the Yankees, at the Alamo, whether or not that was a good decision.
Right.
We now have our ranch in Texas. So saying that I should be sympathetic to people that are attempting to enter the country by breaking the law because I have light brown skin is crazy.
Right.
And I tend to agree with that. I think also that you notice that there is among, I don't know about liberals as a group, but among activists, there's an active hostility to stories about minority success.
Mm-hmm.
So what you said is absolutely accurate. The black community, obviously, in practice, has made massive strides since the civil rights movement in the 1950s and 1960s. Whether you like him or not, the last president was black. Ben Carson, one of the current cabinet secretaries, is black. And that's been the case for multiple administrations, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice. One statistic that sticks out for me comes from the conservative eminence Thomas Sowell. But since 1969, you're talking about a few years after the passage of the Civil Rights Act, a black guy, a white guy, and an Asian guy, well, there's still actually some discrimination against Hispanics, but a black guy, white guy, and Asian guy with the same qualifications and credentials have made the same amount of money. That's true in the North and the South. So all of the yelling about individual incidents of racism, to some extent, is a distraction from the fact that the same guy across those great races has the same income and the same life. So the real question for minority Americans is about the skills gap or the training gap. How do you fix the problems in, for example, the black community, like the absence of fathers in more than 60% of black homes that prevent black people from having the same skills and qualifications? And all this ranting and raving, saying that the math SAT is racist, none of that does any good at all. That's just a distraction from the actual skills that we would need to succeed. That's
exactly
negative.
Right. I agree wholeheartedly with that, you know, with that point, Dr. Riley, because, what is your target focus? And if it's victimhood, then that's the area you live in. And we've got to, you know, whatever we can do to get you out of it. Now, some of these things truly are systemic. I think that some things have been stacked up unfairly. And I guess of all minorities, not just black Americans, in terms of, you know, the educational system, that has been questioned. But, you know, the thing is that we've got to bring it to debate and do something about it, to your point.
Yeah, I totally agree. And also, I will say, when you talk about this idea of privilege, I won't go through the whole paper again, but as we've discussed, this is something I've researched. And what you find is that there are a ton of privileges in life. So everyone has something that makes them a little underprivileged or a little behind the curve.
Mm-hmm.
Jewish Americans face substantial discrimination. I mean, quite a thousands of real hate crimes against that population every year. Gay Americans face more discrimination than anybody else. One thing I will say, poor whites are one of the most ignored groups in the country. I mean, that's a population that doesn't qualify for affirmative action or legacy programs, mm-hmm. by definition.
Right.
So almost everybody has something. I mean, you can be overweight. You can be short. I mean, I don't mean to be glib about this, but it would probably be harder to get an executive job as a man if you were 5'6" than if you were black.
Exactly.
Almost
right.
Everyone has something that holds them back. So when you see another man or just another individual, you have no idea what their position is in life. I mean, someone's father might have just died of cancer. So when you say minorities face hurdles, my response to that would be perhaps 8% more or whatever on average, but everybody faces hurdles.
Exactly.
So, yeah. When you talk about racism, when you come to me with discussions of racism, you can't point to some broad, diffuse idea. You know, black people make 6.2% less money than white people or whatever, and we're going to attribute that to racism. If you show me a concrete incident of racism, a store won't serve African Americans, I'll fight it with you.
Exactly.
But the thing
right.
is, I think everybody at this point will fight it together. I think if you go to not an alt-right rally, of which there were about two a year, but if you go to a mainstream conservative event or you go to a large integrated church, it's not like people are going to be advocating for racial bigotry. So again, I think that one of the things you see is that to create this idea of prevalent constant racism, you have to almost make things up. you have to redefine fairly normal behavior as racist. So, I mean, the most controversial of Donald Trump's recent tweets came when he called the city of Baltimore, I think this is fair to say, they ran an editorial condemning him. Mm-hmm. He called the city of Baltimore dirty in sections, quote, and rat infested. And I think that that's just an obvious non-controversial statement, that the area of Baltimore where they filmed The Wire is in the hood.
Right.
And this prompted this screaming, frenzied reaction. The tweets were called racist in the Washington Post and so on. And that's the type of, quote, unquote, racism that you see today when people are discussing race issues. When someone says they've encountered racism, they never, ever mean five white guys or five black guys beat me up with sticks. Never.
Right. No, you can't call out discrepancies. I mean, you know, the people of the country have invested over $16 billion in Baltimore. And what do we got out of it? You know, two decades ago, Elijah Cummings himself talked about it, you know, about Baltimore being rat infested. And so here we are two decades later, billions of dollars invested in that community. And what do we have? I mean, we could have done so much more just even with $16 billion, not the total amount that has been invested in Baltimore in terms of improving schools and doing the kind of things that should be done on behalf of the citizens there.
Yeah, I think that we've gotten to a point where pattern recognition is often condemned as racism.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you look at the most violent cities in the country, one thing I'll tell you is they don't actually all have race in common. We tend to stereotype black cities. But if you look at Stockton, California, that's a mostly Hispanic and poor white city.
Right.
I mean, there's no shortage of crime in, I don't want to criticize a major city in my state, but Lexington, Kentucky, which is by no means majority black, West Virginia, Charleston. But the most violent cities in the country, Little Rock, Arkansas, very integrated, they all have one thing in common, which is that they are led by, I would say, hard left-leading political administrations, and they have a large concentration of poor people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you relax policing standards in a city where you have the potential for a lot of crime, I mean, this is two-step analysis, you're going to get a lot of crime.
Right, exactly.
If you say that, and this is true for purely white cities, too. I mean, Antifa is directing traffic over there in Portland. I mean, but if you say this, the immediate response is, well, that's racist. You are criticizing the political party that freed African Americans. You are criticizing a style of governance that often involves black leaders. You think of Marion Barry in D.C. So your criticism of Baltimore must be motivated by racism. And I think at this point, you have a pretty diverse group of people with a job saying, no, my criticism of Baltimore is motivated by the fact that they've had, 250 murders so far?
Right, exactly. Yeah, and rats are running rampant around there, and it's a mess. So you want to clean up, you know, can we clean up the city here on behalf of the people there, because you're leaving them vulnerable. I think right now, I got to tell you, Dr. Riley, I am concerned that we're going to have a plague outbreak because of human feces in the street, all this degradation in these cities, regardless of they're run by Democrats or not. You're talking human beings are going to be left vulnerable because of the disease and, you know, the mess that is there. It's unacceptable. You and I didn't grow up with this. And here we are in the 21st century America. We're dealing with this.
Yeah, and I actually grew up in a tough working class neighborhood, but I mean, we didn't have rats running around. So yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question. Now, I will say, I think that political discussion, including my participation in it, leads a little toward the histrionic. There's not going to be a national outbreak of plague or something, but will you see locally, in fact, in San Francisco, I believe there has been at least one report of bubonic plague.
Right.
Because what you think of as, there's an interesting article written during the 1960s called something like Relearning Civilization, and they were talking about how people in the hippie communes had essentially abandoned mainstream rules as being kind of the man's repression. So things like you could maybe politely call it intimate hygiene for women, or trimming your beard, or taking regular showers. People just stopped doing that stuff. And one of the side effects was that they started getting these literally medieval diseases like scabies that no one has had in a while. Because people had started washing themselves hundreds of years ago. So in some of the cities that have agreed to be, you hear the term sanctuary city, you hear the term...
We've got about 15 seconds left, Dr. Riley. Go ahead.
There's a lot of problems if you abandon civilization. We shouldn't abandon civilization.
Amen to that. Dr. Wilfred Riley on Bill Martinez Live, author of the book Hate Crime Hoax. It's linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Thank you, Dr. Riley.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.